What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Hello, my friends. Welcome in to another episode of Bolt Brady and his bro. We are here to talk week three NFL. We'll get into some college games as well. Hope your week's starting off okay. Let's welcome in Bolt.
Well, we probably should touch on week two a little bit there, too. How'd that go for you?
Like 50-50. I felt really good on some, and then, you know, like last night's game comes to mind where I think we liked the Eagles, and it was good until it wasn't, and that just looked like Swiss cheese. Those prevents, man, I just don't get it how easy it is at the end of the games.
Well, and thanks to Barkley dropping the ball, too.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Which, you know, it can go both ways there, too, because, you know, like, he catches it and gets the first or steps out of bounds. That's just when they probably don't even take any more points.
Nope.
So if I'm sitting at minus 5.5, that doesn't really do it either. So the field goal was good. It's just like, dude, come on.
Yeah. That was a hot knife through butter for big Kirk Cuz. And he said, this is rough. We're playing 7-on-7 here.
Yeah.
Might as well play the flag football, guys.
Yeah, he bounced back well for week two. It looked a little more comfortable.
Well, so that's the saying every year, right? Is that week two is overreaction week.
Or week one is.
Going into week two. And so people are like, whoa, and they overreact to week one, and that influences their plays on week two. But our plays went well. I mean, I think, you know, we'll get into them here, but some of the things that stood out, I mean, what do we think about big Bryce Young getting pulled for the Carolina Panthers? They said, this project is over with. Here comes Andy Dalton.
I mean, initial thought is bummer for us if you're the betting fan, because I love going against Carolina.
Did you go against them this week?
Yeah, it was my Chargers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
lock.
I was about to start to hop on the train. I'm like,
dude,
because
on.
remember like 5 years ago or 6 years ago, whatever, when everyone, like, you know, the so-called experts were like, gotta take the Browns, and they were just getting their ass kicked every week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Carolina was turning into. Like, these other experts are like, gotta take Carolina, there's value here. And I'm like, where are we getting the value from? These guys are getting smashed. They were 2 for 22 on third down conversions the last 2 weeks. I mean, this squad is bueno. So I was like, okay, yep, I'm gonna take the Raiders this week against them. Like, not gonna miss the boat anymore. And then they go, it's red rifle time.
I know, and that changes it a little bit.
Well, and the line changed, actually. It went from plus seven to +5.5. So the market says we'll take the red rifle over Bryce also.
Well, and you know how it kind of just gives some juice to the locker room, because some of those guys are like, dude, this guy's just not seeing me, not cutting it. There's no confidence.
Yeah, Thielen got pissed off. He's like, dude, I'm open, like on the sidelines. Like, let's get this going over here.
Yeah, they showed he went at like a little it was a little dump off route to him, and he just totally missed his fingertips, even like feeling like dove.
Oh yeah, no, it was a screen.
Was it? Yeah, it was like a little five yarder.
It was the bubble screen. That was incredible. Like, the third grader could have thrown it to him.
And he Thielen tries to dive and make a catch and even touch his fingers.
Oh my god, that was good looking. I'm glad you brought that up, because I showed that to the boys. I go, check this out. And they go, give me the uni. I go, I hear ya.
Isn't it crazy how, like, when the confidence gets shot, just like,
it's gone.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Because that owner's just such a meddler. The Tepper guy, he's a big hedge fund guy, just comes in and wrecks shop every year and a half. Coaches, you know, you got rid of McCaffrey, and then you got rid of all those dudes to get Bryce Young. Like, terrible decision, obviously.
Well, and not letting it play out here too much, but
it's not going to work. I mean, that was, he's 5'11".
Well, that's bullshit, because guess who else? He's not even 5'11". I think he's 5'10", along with my boy Kyler Murray.
Who's way faster.
Well, I know he is, but he's 5'10", too, so the size thing's put to shame. And also big Drew Brees, you know, that guy.
He was 6 foot.
But he was the most accurate passer of all time. So,
and he was a good athlete. I mean, they would show Drew Brees would dunk. I don't know if Bryce Young has that sort of athleticism. But, you know, just the mental part and then also how they're set up for success. Zero chance with this guy, what they did. You send DJ Moore, those picks, coaching staff changes every year.
Yeah. But
obviously, the coach was going to stick with him Sunday night, and then I'm sure the owner comes in and goes, nope, let's rethink this.
Yep. I know. He made the coach look like an idiot because the coach is like, Bryce is our guy. He's our guy. There's no doubt about it. And then less than 24 hours, the Andy Dalton's taking over.
Red Rock. I mean, yeah, and this Canales guy is supposed to be the whisperer for the QBs.
Because he had Geno.
And then Baker.
Right.
Yeah, he was the Tampa O coordinator. So he's just like, dude, I'm trying to help this guy get back to somewhere that's successful. And like now it's not going to work in Carolina.
So they're peace out. I mean, we probably spent 4 minutes too long talking about them anyway.
Yeah.
So then how about the other big surprise is the New Orleans Saints. You ready for this stat? And our boy Big Carr. Because remember, if people that have been listening to this for a while, I'm always like, dude, it's not Big Carr. This guy's squads are bueno. And then last year, it was the first time on the squad. Coach, the offensive coordinator's garbage. So they bring in big Clint Kubiak. Name may sound familiar because his dad backed up John Elway back in the day. And then he was also an O coordinator and a coach in the NFL. And how about this stat? The first 15 drives that the Saints have had this year, they've scored on. 15 in a row. Holy cow.
I mean, Alvin Kamara and those guys look like back to a few years ago.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, I was thinking about this in fantasy. I was kind of thinking about Alvin a little bit. I'm like, dude, what, you know, nothing really happened like bad to Kamara, except he got in those legal issue last year and it kind of threw him off his game because they're like, are we going to hold him out of some games? And I think they did. And so he was clearly distracted. And so you can't like count that. So that's why I'm like, why, you know, let's think, why are the Saints way better now? Well, they've got a new offensive coordinator. Well, how's that make things different? Last year, they were last in the NFL with play action. They only did play action 14% of the time. This year, they're doing it 53% of the time. They go from last to first. And they've got Big Kamara balling. Carr, you know, I've always said it. God, that guy's taking a small amount of shit, Big Carr.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't factor in. I'm not saying he's Tom Brady, but he played for the Raiders for all those years. Everyone knows how much of a shit show that squad is and that organization. And so how do you expect a guy to thrive under there? And now he gets somewhere he's got a supporting cast. Stand by.
Yeah, I mean, Allen's always been good on the defensive side of the ball, so to turn it over to someone with some more creativity looks so, you know, good so far, two games in, way better to watch.
Oh, yeah. And then
that conference is looking a little decent now the first 2 weeks.
With the Falcons and the Bucks.
The Falcons will see, but I mean, the Tampa looks like they're for real.
Well, so let me tell you about that game real quick so people don't overreact on that bad boy. How about Detroit was 1-for-7 in the red zone? Wow. I mean, that is good looking. Everyone that knows the red zone is 20 yards or in on your opponent. And they got in there 7 times, and they scored once. So the Bucks got a little lucky there on some of those things. Goff throws the pick the first play of the game. Mm. Dude, that was Bryce last week. I mean, when that happens and you're the quarterback, you're like, whoa, we might be in for a long day here.
Mm-hmm. Well, props to the Bucks for stepping up on D.
Yeah, no, they're decent. They're not too shabby. They played the Bronx this week. We'll get to that in a second. And then let's get to some of the W's here. How about the big Steelers against the Broncos? Is the Broncos, are they bueno? I mean, did I say that squad is bueno before the season started? They might be one of the worst this year. We know that's a fact. Could be the worst. Now that Dalton's coming in, the Bronx might be the worst. Like I said, Big Bo Nix, it's way too early for him. 4 picks so far, no TDs. I mean, this is good looking right now. And mm-hmm. the Steelers are garb. Like, their offense?
Yeah.
They've only scored 1 touchdown in 2 weeks.
I mean, they put up 18 and then 13 in Denver.
And they've got the W's. And that's because of our boy Big TJ Watt. Once again, guy's a joker.
Yeah, they lean on that D for sure.
Yep. And then KC gets away with the win, but we get the cover with big Joe Johnny B. Good Burrow. Mm-hmm. That was legit. I think you got the L on that one.
Yep. That that PI saved the Chiefs there, but it was the guy was there too early on Rice. He definitely slammed into his back to get them in the field goal range.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm not going to be one of those conspiracy guys here, but wow, when you go against the Chiefs, it sucks because it does seem like they get a lot of calls.
Well, that was at home. Yeah, that's tough.
But now they play the big Falcons. We'll get to that one in a minute too. So the games that we gave out, not only did they cover, they won the ball games. How about my boy? Just kidding, but we took him for 1 week. Big Malik. Woohoo! Malik came to ball because we knew Richardson would not come to ball. And sure enough, Richardson had the three picks. We knew they'd lean on Josh Jacobs, and they sure did. Holy cow, that guy had 32 carries for 151 yards.
Yeah.
As a team, they had 53 rushes. I mean, you're high if you think they're going to let Malik do anything, and the Colts couldn't stop it. It was incredible. So that was a good one. Then we also had the Browns versus the Jags. Didn't even need the points there. W. W for the Browns. And then who was the other W that we had with the Bengals covered? The only one that did not cover, we went 4-1 and went to the NFL, was and the teaser went 0-1. But the Giants, wow, you score three touchdowns. The other team doesn't even score a touchdown, and you don't win the ball game.
Seven field goals.
How about they scored on every possession, too? It was just all field goals, though. Every possession went at least 43 yards for the Commanders. But if you haven't heard, the Giants kicker, place kicker, got hurt before the game. So they bring in the punter the first time to kick it. And the guy just, it's not even close, okay? So then they go, we're going to go for two every time, and never got it. Mm-mm. And that came to bite them in the ass. And here's my question for you. For those that you don't know, the punter and the place kicker, they do loads in practice. They do nothing. They go out and they kick for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then they get the barbecue out and start just kicking back, watching the rest of the squad practice. I mean, it is, they do nothing. So I would have thought that the punter would at least be able to kick the extra point. I mean,
yeah, you think they'd at least have some skill at it.
Dude, come on. I mean, bring in Daniel Jones to kick the 33-yarder. Like, now, normally I'd say give me the jersey, but I honestly don't think I could do that one right now. But someone on the squad could. And they couldn't do it. It was incredible. They kept going for the twos. And it was dog shit. That game was good looking.
Yeah, that was an ugly one.
I mean, that was good looking.
Those two look like a tough watch for the rest of the year.
those two are a tough watch. And then I don't think we took anything on the Jets-Titans. We stayed away from that one.
No, that one didn't seem that appealing. You know, you got to see Aaron and his mobility a little bit still. But, you know, it was tight there till the end. And the Jets,
yeah, it was.
The Jets covered.
Well, big Will Lev. The costly turnover again.
That coach is going to lose his mind.
With him?
Well, he said something, and he kind of reeled it back in. He's like, that's just dumb.
Well, actually, I saw a highlight, and that you could read the coach's mouth, and he goes, what the F are you doing?
Right.
Holy cow. And then you had the Vikings Nines. That was a crazy game, too. Both those guys kind of gave the game away. Big Jefferson, the 97-yard TD was large for them. So now the Nines don't have Debo either. So Debo's out and CMC.
It's weird how the scheduling works. I don't know exactly how they do it. I mean, I know each year, like the NFC West or whoever it is, you get like an opponent, like the AFC East. So everyone in your. But last year, the Niners played in Minnesota also because you get a couple like random games outside of that conference you're playing for the year.
Yeah.
Including your own conference, who you play each of them twice. But it's just funny how you, like, back-to-back years, you go to Minnesota.
Yeah, and lose both.
Right. It's just for some reason they have their number. That coach, McConnell, does a good job.
You know,
he kind of can hang with Shanahan, it seems, offensively.
He's solid. And then the Seattle Seahawks coaching staff decided to tune into our podcast, and they said, let's get DK the rock. Mm-hmm. 14 targets for DK. Finally, guess what happens, ladies and gentlemen? 10 catches, 129 yards, one TD, and the W. That a boy. I bet DK. Why don't they do that every week? It's incredible.
He had like a 56-yarder.
Yeah. Good one. I mean, he's legit. So I'm trying to think. Was there anyone else? I mean, we mentioned your charge. I mean.
Yeah. The charge and the Bills. I told you I was there from the beginning. So.
Oh, yeah. You were. We'll get to the charge. There's a couple more games here that we got to review.
It's crazy. By the time you get to, you know, the next Tuesday, how far away like the Thursday game was.
I know it does.
I mean, that was the Tua, you know, falling down and getting the head injured again.
Yeah. And that seems like forever ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the Raiders versus the Ravens, and the Ravens left the teabags at home. Wow. Taking the L 26-23, but my guy Minshew just keeps on balling. Woohoo! And he got Devontae the Rock. I'm sure Devontae's happy after 9 catches, a 110, and a TD.
He had a good catch on the side there with the tippy toes.
Yeah. And then last but not least, my boy Kyler. Was that an effing B-racer? 41-10. Kyler's like, no one out there is respecting my game. James Conner said the same thing. Goes for 21 carries and a 122. I'm a little disappointed that I didn't pick that game because the Rams just have so many injuries, and now they have even more. Cups out.
Well, that's kind of like an underlying thing here with a lot of these teams this early in the season. It's like the Rams are in trouble if both those receivers are out for a month plus.
Right. They're out, and then their offensive line, they only have 2 starters right now that are going to probably suit up this week.
I said last, the Aaron Donald being gone, like that's so hard to replace. Like there's just not that push on that D line. Like I liked the Rams 2 weeks ago, but now they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, no. There's no way, not with those guys missing. So then that takes us in to week 3 here, and we might as well start off with those guys. I think this is a tough game to stay away from me. The big Cardinals take on the Detroit Lions. And, I mean, I'd lean with the Cards here plus the 3, but I just don't like the fact, like I said, Detroit played horribly last game. I mean, it was horrible. And so, like I said, Goff pick first play of the game, 1-for-7 in the red zone. That's not going to happen again. So this is a stay away for me.
Yeah, I kind of have feel like, you know, you had a good call with Arizona here to start the year and him bouncing back. And Marvin Harrison had a hell of a game. They were like, dude, let's look for this guy.
Yeah, right.
Got him in fantasy, so that was nice.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, dude, he looked like, you know, a pro's pro already there. Against, he looked like a big body and just made some sweet catches.
2 touchdowns.
For like a 130.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like Arizona might be the Detroit of this year, but their defense isn't as strong as Detroit's.
Right.
But Arizona feels like they're going to have a good season because you get that mojo going your way. Amon St. Brown might be dinged up. They said he avoided serious injury, but he changes some stuff if he misses this game. So yeah. I would lean with Arizona at home here, being an underdog.
Mm-hmm. The Thursday nighter. Man, the Jets have had a brutal schedule. They start off with the Niners on the road, then the Titans on the road. Now they have a Thursday night game. Looks like the line 6.5. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, is this his first home game?
It is.
Back to the scene of the injury. You know, the Patriots came out looking better than last year. The effort, you know, with the new coach and whatnot. I'd probably go with Aaron here in his first home game.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun to watch. It's a stay away from me, though. I mean, I think Aaron's going to be fired up. Last year, God, that stadium was rocking when he came in. Unfortunately, it was only for 4 plays. But, yeah, I think it'll be rocking again.
God, they lost like a D lineman to an Achilles pop out there in Tennessee, too.
No, I know. They've got a guy holding out, too. Their pass rush is garbage right now.
Hassan Reddick.
Yeah. Still,
he hasn't shown.
Yeah. So, listen, some people here are new, and they're like, listen, Bolt, I know you got some W's last week. My buddies told me about it. Let's get a best bet in here. And I go, sure, no problem, ladies and gentlemen. So we've gone with or against the Colts every week so far. We got the W with them the first week. We went against them last week. This week, ladies and gentlemen, they're playing Big Caleb and the Chicago Bears. And the line is -1.5. Give me the Colts here. Let's get serious.
Yeah.
Caleb once again on the road. It's good looking, bud. You might just want to tell people you do get nervous for these games because he's holding on to the ball too long, too, like trying to make things happen. There was 7 sacks against the Texans.
Yeah.
The Colts didn't look good, but you dig into the stats a little bit, and, you know, they actually could have taken that one away from the Packers. But Anthony's going to play way better at home. Give me the Colts -1.5. Best bet.
Yeah, they're showing Caleb, and he's, you know, in college you kind of wait for like your stud receiver or someone to kind of shake someone, but the NFL, by the time you keep doing that, a D lineman's coming at you, or those corners are better at holding on to those dudes.
Yep, good call.
And sticking with them. And then also it comes down to the situation, like we've talked about. It's like, what, he threw it 39 times against the Texans. Like, that's just a lot to expect out of this rookie.
Right, right.
And then they said, I think they rank like second to last in terms of like just motion and guys in, you know, that are moving to kind of read the defense for him. It's like the O coordinator's not doing any favors.
Right.
So it's going to be a struggle here for their offense in the early part. And Odunze was a little banged up, I think, still.
Yeah. The problem with the Colts.
Oh, and Keenan didn't even play.
No. Yeah, so he's up in the air again. The Colts got away from the run game. I mean, that's your bread and butter, guys. Jonathan Taylor. So they'll get back to Johnny again, and let's get the W for us again here, the Colts. Mm. I'm going to take a quick time out here for a few announcements. T-O-T-O. We have some hats here. Sweet Ride 15. Appreciate the review you gave us, big guys. Why don't you email my bro at?
That's lightning@boltbrady.com.
lightning@boltbrady.com. And also, Big Tegan, we got the hat for you too, bud. That one's coming. So just want to let you guys know that. And then also, I don't know if we've had a 409 yet this year, but we'll save it for college. We'll explain what the 409s are here in a minute because it's college. But sometimes, even though this is a football podcast right now, you got to point out things that are athletically great achievements. And how about this? So for those of you that don't know where the San Francisco Giants play baseball, in right field over the home run fence, it's called McCovey's Cove. And so you can hit the ball in the water, actually, a home run. But it's got to be a bomb because the air in San Francisco is super thick and it's usually cold. So the McCovey's Cove.
And you got to be usually a left-handed hitter.
Well, so thank you very much. Way to lead into what I'm getting at here. So there's been 167 home runs in McCovey Cove that have landed in the water, 107 of them from the Giants. First guy ever from the right side of the plate hit the HR. And it's this cat, Ramos, for the Giants. How about that? First guy ever from the right side of the plate, HR, McCovey Cove.
Nice.
That's pretty sweet. 24 years? Dude, no one from the right side of the plate hit a home run there? I just think that's nutty.
He probably had the urine test requested after the game.
Right. Apparently, Mark McGwire and Sosa never played it at McCovey's Cove.
No, I don't think it had been built yet.
So anyway, just had to take a little time out there for folks. Okay, now.
Back to football.
Back to football, and our producer says, give the people what they want, another best bet here. Are we ready? Okay, Lamar. You missed out by your buddy's big left toe last time we played against KC. Get serious. They play the Dallas Cowboys this week. Now, do you remember Lamar's domination against the NFC? Remember that stat?
Oh, yeah.
He's 18-1 against them. Last year, 5-0 against the NFC. People may ask, well, why? What's it have to do with the AFC? Because they don't see Lamar play, and they don't go up against his speed and quickness, and he's 0-2 right now. Get serious if you think he's going 0-3. Give me the Ravens large against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that was a disappointing outing for the Cowboys after a good opening week. So, I mean, if the Ravens step up and win this game, you're looking at both those guys being 1-2, which aren't great starts. But, you know, Dallas usually has been doing pretty solid the last few years with 12 wins.
Yeah, they usually play the shitty teams really well, and then they struggle against the better teams. And you mentioned teams that are 0-2, like right now. So how about in the last 3 years, the 21 teams that started off 0-2, only two of them made the playoffs. So 19 out of 21 teams the last 3 years that had started off 0-2 did not make the playoffs. If you want to talk about getting someone that's zeroed in right now, it's Big Lamar. Usually I'm pretty good when to know when to jump on Lamar. This is one of those times.
No, they better hope. Because I think if you go 0-3, it's like no
good
chance.
Night. Yeah. Yep. Good night. So we've got Lamar there, best bet, -1 against Dallas. That thing might even get down to the pick 'em.
Well, even since he's off to 0-2 they keep showing Burrow's record in weeks 1 and 2 of his career, and he's 1-9 in weeks 1 and 2 to start his career, which is just odd. But
well, I think it's had to do with the injuries, right?
Yeah, that doesn't help. I mean, because how he comes out of summer.
Yeah, this is the first time he's been able to. But he looked fine. I mean, they need to get big T. Higgins back out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, yeah, they look great against the Chiefs. I mean, you keep doing that week to week, you'll be good to go.
Yeah, because it's super hard to win in KC. Now. People want to know what Joe Public likes this week.
Sure. My squad, the Charge, we've got a little bit of a question mark at quarterback with Herbert. They said he avoided serious injury in the lower leg with the x-ray. And I'm saying even if he doesn't go, I'm still good with Jimmy and the Chargers.
Even if Herbert doesn't go?
Yeah.
I mean, who's the backup?
Easton Stick, but it's more
about... Are you serious?
Have you just taken a look at the Chargers' numbers? You probably haven't. Jim is just running the rock.
Dude. Well, that I know, but if there's no threat of the pass,
he's
that's
fine. He's not a rookie.
Wow.
Dude,
wow.
Jimbo instills the confidence. They run what J.K. Dobbins ran for like 135 or something.
He's been balling.
But I know Pitt's not the Carolina Panthers on defense. Far from it.
Yeah, they are, especially at home.
But the Chargers are playing good D too. So it's like I'm not scared of Fields.
Well, no, I hear you. I mean, that game's a stay away from me. But if Big Easton comes in and that line's under the 7, I'll fire on TJ and the crew.
Well, you'll see the line change if they make an announcement for sure.
I'm trying to think what that line will change to because the drop-off between Herbert and this Easton cat, it's got to be at least 5. I bet it would get up to the 7.
I don't. It probably stayed just below it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Herbert looked like he was hobbling pretty good, but you know, if it's just like an ankle or something, maybe he can get some treatment.
Probably not. I mean, if I was to guess, I would think he'd probably play. But do you really want to be hobbling around TJ Water? I don't think so.
Jim just impounds it like let's play smart.
Now trust me, I'm gonna fire against the Steelers here when the opportunity arises. This just isn't it.
It isn't if Herbert was healthy.
No. Not the defense is too good and they're at home. We'll get them. We'll get Big Fields on the road against someone, and it's gonna be the boat race because he's been doing loads. I mean, you might as well give us one of the jerseys just to go in, like hand off and throw the ball like every 10 plays to a wide open guy because you've been running it the whole game.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with Herbert. Then my other squad, Big Josh Allen, the Bills. Nice long rest at home with the struggling Jacksonville coming in.
Okay.
Minus six.
-6. I don't even know if it's that high, is it? Is that what you got recently? -6.
I thought 5.5.
That's what I was going to say. Five. Big difference there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take the 5.5 for you.
I'll take Josh 5.5. And then we were talking about Joe Byrne Company, and we got the Garb Commanders coming in.
They are Garb.
I will take Cincy getting their first win comfortably against the Commanders.
The Commanders, yeah, they're bad. They're bad. I've got nothing. I like that one better than the Chargers pick.
Yeah.
And let's see, is there any other interesting games here to me? Well,
Tampa sticks out a little bit too at home against the crap Bronx here.
Yes. You just have to check the injury report. There's some banged up guys on that, I think, on the offensive line. But yeah, no, I mean, last week the theme was show me, right? And we still got a couple of those. I mean, until the Bronx can show me anything, I mean, it's almost the automatic fade. especially on the road. The Broncos, their home crowd balls. It always keeps them in games. It's crazy. But when you get out on the road, and, you know, this is the rookie going up against the veteran defensive coordinator here, it's usually not good results for the rook.
Yeah, it's just weird with these quarterbacks, how these guys, if you look who's doing well around the league or you know, at least in the history, I know they're impatient, but to throw them in so quickly just never really does these guys well.
No, nope. And they're all just trying to get that C.J. Stroud thing rocking.
Which, that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
I think the only person that's not doing it right now is the Falcons with Penix.
Yep.
And that'll probably serve him well.
Right.
He was a pretty old guy coming out at like 25, but you give him two behind Kirk at 27, and it's not the same pressure. I mean, that guy will probably be way better than any of these guys that are thrown into the fire.
Well, he gets the opportunity, yeah. Okay, and then before we get to the college here, the best bettors, how about the last best bet in the NFL this week? And it is Big Skyler and the Miami Dolphins. Tua is not playing, and so that line moved like 7 points. Skyler, guy played in the playoffs when he was a rookie. I mean, he's not that great, but you've got to be shitting me if the Seahawks are giving us the 5.5er here. Wow, is that what's your line show on that one? Because that thing's been bumping around a little bit.
5.
Okay, so we'll go with the 5. Big Skyler, you don't think, I mean, we've got big Tyreeker and Waddle coming in here. The line was 6 when they played the Bronx. So this is a whopping 1 point less with Big Sky and the fastest guy in the NFL. And their running backs are slow Joe, too. Give me that one. Wow, that's almost as good as Lamar, really. Wow, I can't believe that.
Yeah, Seattle had a little bit of a tough travel schedule here, like zipping east back home. Some of that gets a little wearing on these guys. I mean, Miami's going the distance here, too.
You know what? It's funny you bring that up, because there was a little argument on it, and people whipped out the mileage. What's further, Seattle to New England or Miami to Seattle? And Miami to Seattle by 25 miles. That's the furthest trip in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, gives a shit the way these guys roll, you know? It's not like they're carrying their own bags and stuff like that.
No, but, you know, I'd like to hear how what the Chargers are doing this week, because they went to Carolina. I'm sure they're staying back east.
I've got the answer for you.
Because usually, like, if the Niners go back east for Cleveland and they have Philly, they'll just stay back there.
I've got the answer for you.
Let's hear it.
So Big Jim, one of his assistant coaches, is coaching at a college back there. The name slips my mind. It's a smaller college. So Jim's staying back there, and they're going to use their facilities to train.
I think he did it when he was with the Niners, and it was in Cleveland.
Yeah,
because they're from Ohio. So that kind of is what rang a bell for me.
Yep, good call.
So boom.
So the Chargers are staying back there.
And they're nice and cozy.
Well, yep. And it also, it does help for a little bonding. The guys get to kick it. They don't have to listen to the old lady take out the trash and, you know, help with all that stuff. They just get to kick it with their boys.
No, yeah. He takes them bowling and movies. And it's just going to hang. Actually, I threw on the you kept telling me to watch The Swamp on the Tebow in the Florida years.
Oh, yeah.
So I've watched 2 or 3 of them now.
Yeah.
That is a good throwback to some of those, the early 2000s.
Yeah. And, dude, how much of a badass is Big Tebow?
Dude, he's great. You know what struck me was the locker rooms. I don't know if you noticed, but they looked like a high school locker room, basically, with just like these wooden cubbies. I'm like, man, those things have come a long way.
Really? No, I didn't notice that.
I mean, those are selling points now, like on recruiting trips.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, check out our locker room.
Oh, dude, they're just like, I mean, the ceilings are low. It doesn't even look like they have AC almost.
Yeah. TiVo, I mean, wow, is that guy slightly dedicated? It's unreal.
Yeah, I need to finish it, but that's been a good watch.
Do you have any other takes here before we move on?
No, I love seeing a couple games, though. You kind of get a feel for these guys, and also some of these injuries are setting in, which is unfortunate. You know, I feel like guys like Cup and some of these guys, like, they just can't shake it. Justin Jefferson's starting to get a little history here with, like, getting dinged up. He had the long TD against the Niners, but then the guy goes to the tent for, like, the thigh bruise.
I know, it's a bummer.
And then you can't always take what he's like, I'm in, you know, but then they end up holding these guys out, so you can't even believe what you hear from them.
Right. One more little tidbit before we move on to the college. So how about, you remember that movie Bull Durham with big Kevin Costner?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's an old classic. Some of the younger generation might want to check it out. Good movie. But anyway, Costner got pissed off at the pitcher during the game, and he started tipping off the pitches. So he would tell the hitters, hey, here comes the curveball. Here comes the fastball.
Right.
How about a guy did it in real life? In Double A, this guy was tipping, a catcher was tipping off the hitters.
Because he was pissed at his pitcher?
I don't know. They didn't say the reason. But so anyway, the other players told the coaches on their team. They're like, hey, the catcher's telling us what's coming. And so the coaches told, you know, his coach, the catcher's coach. And they go, thanks for playing. You're out of the organization now.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, buddy. I hope that was worth it.
Wow.
I know. That's crazy,
get,
huh?
Get lost, big guy.
So now we step into college football. And the first thing I want to touch on real quick is these reporters. And remember, it was said how, like, this one lady reporter, was she admitted to making up bullshit. And you can tell when they do it. They go, oh. And Jim Jones, he says that he really appreciates when his mom comes to the game and makes homemade spaghetti for him. You're like, dude, no, he didn't say that. So how about this chick tries saying that Travis Hunter... They said, yep, and the coach says Travis Hunter for the CU Buffaloes is that he's just such a humble player, and he's such a humble guy around the team. I'm like, dude, you can say a lot of things about Travis. He's not humble at all.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, off to the college picks here. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. So Florida State. Okay, and these guys are a 409, clean it up, spray it down.
Fire sale.
They're 0-3, but do you know who they play this week?
No.
Cal Berkeley.
Ooh.
And I've watched Cal, and they're way better than normal. But come on, guys. I mean, they beat Auburn this year. Great W. They've got to fly back to Florida State, and the line's only -2. I'll take the Seminoles here. Okay.
So Florida State's favored?
Yes, by 2.
Dude, this mishmash squad they put together this year with Ugalele, like, get something going.
Well, it's gnarly. I mean, you just lost a big Memphis. You've lost a Georgia Tech, Boston College, and Memphis. So here comes Cal, basically saying, are you going to end up 0-4 or not? Cal's way better than they have been. I'm not going to get into the details now. I'm a little bit more impressed with them, but come on, guys. I mean, you've got Florida State's attention now.
Yeah, crazy. Undefeated last year and begging for the playoff spot, but the injured QB keeps them out.
Right.
And they're like, Norvell, the coach, is safe because he's had a couple of good seasons there. But then they were talking about Florida, school.
He got canned.
He did today?
Yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see that he officially was. Because they were talking about, they were like, said it was going to happen, but they're like, his buyout fee was $26 million.
Wow.
So they're just like, dude, it's time. Slap him the 26.
Dude, how about that? You're so shitty. They said, take $26 million and get out of here.
And then some of that is offset if they get another job within like the 3 years. The new school takes on some of that hit.
Right.
It's in some of the verbiage there, but it's still crazy. Like you get cut and that's like your ticket.
Well, dude, those schools, you better win or you're peace out.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we like Florida State. And then the last 409, clean it up. Ladies and gentlemen that don't know what the 409 is, you might know about the clean it up spray where you to clean shit up. We need the 409 here. Oregon State. How about I took them this week because they were playing Oregon? First half at home, Oregon State. It's 14-22. We got a ball game going. Final 14-49. Outscored 27 bagels in the second half. All right, Corvallis. Wow. That's it for me this week.
All right. Yeah, they're trying to save the Pac-12 there and add some squads. We'll see what happens. That'll do it for week 3 NFL. We will catch you guys next week. But keep an eye on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Bolt Brady Picks. We keep some info there. Day of the games. Keep the reviews coming on Apple or wherever you listen. You write some reviews. If we see it, we'll get you a hat. We'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.
Oh.